begin our worship service this morning. Good to see everyone. Welcome our visitors. Good to have you. As has already been said, if you were here for the Sunday school. We want to begin this morning. Our country, as you have noticed, is in a bad shape. And if we're ever going to get back to where we need to be, it's going to be through God and our prayers. And I've really been dealing with that since yesterday. I want us to start off this morning singing, I Need the Prayers. Number 223, we're singing out of favorite gospel songs. Number 223. Let's turn to number 218. We'll just continue on this thought of prayer this morning. Just a little talk with Jesus. Number 218.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Key. Good morning, everybody. If it's all right with you, I'll stay down here with y'all this morning. Is that okay? Good morning. I got a little bit. Kids beat you, though. Good morning. We would say that every morning, and usually I'd have to repeat to get kids woke up a little bit too. So I appreciate y'all coming out this morning. We are so glad to see each and every one out today for our service. I hope and pray that you have been praying for this service. We've had a good week, a busy week, but with Vacation Bible School, we got to watch the kids perform this morning, and that was enjoyable to watch. If you were able to listen to the songs, I'm going to put it this way. I hope you get cursed the same way I did. I hope them songs stick in your head. And I've gotten up different mornings with I Want to Be Like a Tree. And Standing on the Promises. And but it's been an enjoyable week, and we had a lot of good kids with us, and had a few little bumps in the road, but that's part of it. But we are just glad that everybody was able to be with us today, and I just pray that we can all just follow the Lord today. And if any of you are tired, we are all that way to a certain degree, but I just hope and pray that we all feel well enough to serve the Lord today. That's what this service is about. We are serving, glorifying, and lifting up the name of Jesus this morning. That's what we need to do in this service, and with that, we'll see great blessings come down. Now, I realize we have a few empty seats today. Those different families that have had death to touch their families, and we need to be praying for them. Some are going to the funeral home later, but I appreciate each and every one. And because death is something that is coming on all of us, we all understand that, and we just pray for the ones that have lost loved ones this week, and I hope and pray that God will comfort them in this time is what I hope will happen more than anything else today. We want to be prayerful for them as we go into our service today. I do want to remind everybody, first of all, Friday night we have a singing this Friday night. We want everybody to come out for it. But we start Revival Sunday. Today, our Wednesday night service, Sunday, our Friday night singing, and then starting Sunday, all are to lift us up to the place where we can do what God would have us to do. Set aside some time for the Lord is what I want you to do. Make a little bit of an effort, if you can, to be in the house of the Lord. If you can't come, don't take that as a reason that you lay out, please. But if you can't come, make time to pray for us. Because I look around and I see the different kids that are here, the different older ones that are not saved, and that's something that we're longing to see, is them to be saved. We set aside this week, first of all, for revival for us, the saved. That's what it's supposed to be about. We're supposed to get ourselves in the shape where we can worship the Lord. And so we need to set aside some time to pray today for that is what I want us to do, first of all. But then as the week goes on, hopefully and prayerfully, we get to such a shape of revival that we will be blessed so much that the glory of God will come down and it'll show the sinners that being saved is more than just coming into the church house and sitting here and listening to preaching. Being saved is a whole so much more. And we need to show that off is what I want us to do today and throughout the next couple of days. So keep that in mind. We're going to get on with our service today. We're going to have our children's church. Kids, come right over here if you would. Children's church, come on. Over here. I'm going to do it again today. I know Brother Sam does a better job than I do, but I want to welcome you to be with us again today. Okay, what was our theme this week? Standing on the promises of God. Right, good job. What was the first one I talked about earlier in the week? What promise? Anybody remember? About the rainbow. Good job. The rainbow was for Noah, right? God had said, I'll never destroy the earth again by water, right? Okay. How did Noah survive the flood? He built an ark, right? How many people were saved on that ark? Anybody remember? Three families, close. Actually, it'd be four. It's Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. So in a sense, it's three families plus the older folks. The older folks, like me, you know. But they were all saved on that ark. What else was saved on the ark? The animals, right? How'd they go into the ark? I didn't understand her. Walked up the plank. They got me there. They got me there. Walked up the plank. That's right. All right, let me ask it different. How many camels went in to the ark? Two.
100.
Nope. They had it right. You're off this time, Sarah. They had it right. Just two camels. There was two of every kind, right? So, was there any chickens on there? Okay, somebody do me a chicken. Bok, 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 good. Okay, how many sheep went on the... That's good. So, somebody do me a sheep. Bad, good. Do you think there was any dogs on there? How many dogs? Two of them, right? Ah, you beat me to it. Good. Good. All right, one of my favorite ones to do. Any putty cats? Two putty cats. Who's going to do me? Meow. Good. I better quit while I'm had, hadn't I? You're getting the idea, though. I want you to think about it. God had Noah to build an ark to the saving of his family, plus of all creatures, big and small, is what he did. And they went in two by two. One male, one female. That's what the promise of God really came down to, that he was going to spare them. So thank you for your attention. Keep in mind, how many animals, how'd they go in? Two. No, not bok, bok. Two by two. Oh, we're back on chickens again. Okay. I'm going to dismiss y'all and let your parents deal. I'm going to have bok, bok coming out during my sermon today, right? Good job. Instead of amens, I'm going to get bok box. Kids can say the darndest thing is what a fella said one time. And I'm thankful for all of our children and appreciate them so much. They were paying attention, wasn't they? And so that's the great thing. And so we appreciate them coming to be a part of our service today along with you. We want to go to the Lord in prayer here in just a few minutes. As I said, we've got different ones in the church that have lost loved ones, and we want you to pray for them. I'm not going to try to name everybody, but we want to remember those families. We have some that are still sick. Mr. Bob is in a rehab facility down here, and hopefully they're doing him a better job. We do need to remember Sister Nettie along with that, because she is, all of this has really got her frazzled quite a bit, is the way I'll say it. And just remember her in your prayers. Is there any other prayer requests that I'm forgetting? Anybody else got a prayer request on your heart? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. I understand that. Yeah, the loss of a child like that, that's a big thing right there. Let's do remember this family in our prayers. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Let's remember this request, remember this family. Somebody else. As I said, our revival is coming up. Now, right quickly, I want you to think, who would you love to see get saved this week or during our revival? I can look around and I can see faces right now that I'm dying to see saved. There's some that were usually with us that are not today. I don't know where they're at, but they're not here today, and I'm longing to hear them say they're saved. I want us to get them on our hearts. And if you have somebody you want to see saved, just let us know, whether it's right now or after church. You want me to pray for them? My prayers are really not any better than yours. But if you want me to help you pray for them, if you want the church to help you pray for them, just let us know. Because it's a serious thing for these that are unsaved. We see it pretty regularly. And the Sullivan family, the young boy going into fifth grade, would have been going into fifth grade this year, is not, because death came. And so what I would say is, don't take it for granted that your little one is going to live long enough to get saved. Don't take that for granted. You need to be praying for them, praying that they will get saved before it's too late. Now, I'm going to ask us to have an altar prayer. It's good for us to join together our prayers. And I'm going to ask everybody that would like to come up here into our altar area. If you just make it back in the aisle, that's fine. And if you don't want to try to make it, that's fine too. But I want us to all come together, and let's unite our prayers together. Everybody that would, let's come up into the altar area, and let's have an altar prayer at this time. If you've got a lost loved one, I think it'd be a good idea for you to be up here praying for them. We were blessed to see several saved last year, but last year is past. We're looking for some more to be saved. So we're praying for that. We'll call on one to start our prayer, but we want everybody to pray in your own way. Brother Fabian, will you start our prayer? But we want everybody to pray in your own way.
Number 182. Number 182. In another week, our revival will be here. I don't know how many of you were saved at night. I was saved during the daytime. And we're having services during the day as well as during at night here in our revival as well. What a great joy, though. I still know that time and place. And I could take you there, except the old church is blown away. I believe I could get within just a few feet of where that salvation occurred, though, when the Lord saved my soul. Number 182. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Number 190. This is what I like about being saved. The Lord's my hiding place. I can go to him whenever.
Amen.
In the middle of the night or early morning. And the deepest issues that I've got are when I'm as happy on the top of the mountain. This song's all about that. The storms of life may round me roll. This earth may shake from pole to pole. But none of this shall daunt my face. The Savior is my hiding place. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come on, let's sing it. Come on now.
Thank you, Brother Key. Thank you, Sister Janice, for playing this morning. Good to see everybody out today. Anybody got anything on your heart this morning, a word, testimony, or anything? I want us to always follow the Lord and do as He would have us to do in each and every service. And let's pray that God will just grant us a great blessing today. How many of you has got that hiding place? How many of you have had that time in which that you got saved? How many of you got saved in the daytime? How many of us got saved at night? Notice I said to us. It's good to know that you're saved. You may not know the exact day or the hour that you got saved in, but it is good for us to know when we got saved. That's what God has given us the privilege of knowing, is knowing that we are saved by His grace. One of the greatest desires of anybody saved, and I'm going to use a different word than usual, should be, we get caught up in the world just like everybody else, don't we? Should be that everybody else that's not saved would get saved. That should be our greatest desire. And so I hope and pray today that we'll just follow the Lord and show this world just how good it is to be saved today. I'm fighting this. I'm going to tell you, I am. We sing a song a lot of times, and it's called the Days of the Week song, or you can call it Glory, Glory, Glory. I've heard it called that many different times. And in that song, it gives you all the days of the week, and if it's your day, you stand up on that day. It's a good song, right? If you don't know the exact day in which you got saved, day of the week that is, but you know that you're saved, you can stand up on a great day. Now, Brother Key, I'm going to give you and Sister Janice a break. And y'all, I'm going to apologize for how well I'll sing this, but y'all help me sing that song today. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. It must have been the hand of the Lord.
It was on a Monday, somebody touched me.
Somebody
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Josh. Appreciate that testimony. I always like for somebody that tells about being saved to tell it as soon as they possibly can. And truthfully, I've been wondering about Josh for a little while. As far as him being saved, just different things he was saying. A lot of ways he reminded me a lot of the ways Patrick did and some different things. And so we kind of wondered about it, but it was up to him to tell about it. So I'm thankful that Josh can tell us about being saved today. Anybody else got anything on your heart, word of testimony or anything? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Amen. Bless your heart. Appreciate this testimony. Somebody else got a word on your heart. I appreciate Josh standing up. Appreciate him testifying like that. If there's others here today that has not told us about being saved before, I hope and pray that you will. Today's a good day. I had a feeling today. And then after the Lord put that song on me, and I started just to ask Brother Key to do it, and I was like, no, you ain't supposed to. You let Sister Janice have a chance to just stand up. She plays through it all the time. She don't get to stand up. I hope that was great for her. And then I just said, okay, Lord, let's do it. And I know it was a lousy rendition as far as my part was concerned, but I enjoyed it myself. Anybody else got anything on your heart? Yes, ma'am.
There's so much out there that's deceiving.
Yes, ma'am.
And they need to learn. And they need to learn
how. Yes, ma'am.
They're learning the opposite way of what it
means. Yes, ma'am.
So today when I saw that, it made my heart burst. And you other people, y'all understand when I say people rejoicing and happy in church and running up down the aisles, it took everything I had not to do that when I saw that.
Bless you. Yes, ma'am. You're right.
I'm hoping that parents are teaching them the right way.
Mm-hmm.
I know that I was taught the right way. So I'm thankful to see God.
Yes, ma'am. Bless your heart, Sister Kendra. I agree with you. That's something we need to teach them. Somebody else got a word on your heart. It's always good to honor our Lord and for His promises. And I'm thankful that we have been blessed today in this service thus far. I feel like I need to go ahead and preach. I'll try to make this as short as the Lord allow it. So turn with me to the sixth chapter of Hebrews. Sixth chapter of the book of Hebrews. Yes, sir. I meant to say that too. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Randall, I'm glad you reminded me of that. With everything going on, I meant to say that earlier, and I had let it slip my mind. We do need to be praying for our country. And he's right. We need to pray for anybody that's got things like that on their mind. Let's pray, first of all, they'll get saved and they'll get it off their mind. And I'm not talking about an assassination attempt on a world leader or anything like that. I'm talking about anybody. It's all over our world right now that people are just having no, well, the Bible says the love of many will wax cold. And that's what we're seeing. And so we need to be prayerful is what we need to do. Anybody else got a word on your heart? Lord bless. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I agree. I agree with you wholeheartedly there. Amen. Thankful. Lord help. It shows us that an older one can get saved. We've got some other older ones that comes in and out of here from time to time that we need to see them get saved. And let's just be the witness we need to be. Somebody else got a word on your heart. I don't know how to run a service. Everybody follow the Lord today. If nobody has anything else on your heart, turn, as I said, to the 6th chapter of Hebrews. And I'm going to start reading with verse 13. And it says, and when God had, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessings I will bless thee and multiply, multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation to them. And let me try again. For confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And that's reading verses 13 through 19. That's with all my mistakes today. I'm having a hard time reading. My mind is flooded with many good thoughts today. The promises of God is what our theme has been this week for our vacation Bible school. And the other day when I started studying for this sermon, the kids singing about the promises of God, that was what was on my mind before I even went to bed that night before. And I said, Lord, I got to get this song out of my head. Just like all the others, I thought it was still doing that. And then all of a sudden, this is what you're preaching on. This is where you're going, about the promises of God. As you know, I'm not a preacher of occasion, but I am one that I will try to follow the Lord. So we've been talking about the promises of God. I'm not going to talk about the rainbow. I'm not going to talk about the other promises that the kids have taught about, learned about all this week. But I do want us to talk about this promise here that was made by God to Abraham. That promise was first made to a man that was already old. That promise that was made to him was made to a man who he and his wife had no children whatsoever. Both were old people. Let's just say it that way. God promised them a son. And through that son, he said, all nations will be blessed. Now, it doesn't tell us all of this here in the book of Hebrews, but that is the promise that God made. Now, if you'll go down again to the 17th verse where I messed up so much, and let me back up 16th verse. For men verily swear by greater. Whenever we take an oath, we swear by the greatest thing that we can. When you go into a courtroom and they ask you to tell the truth, the whole truth, just tell the truth to the very best of your ability, and you say, so help me God, that is a swear that I will tell the truth. You're confirming it by a greater being than there was. But you'll notice that what he says here, that when he could swear by no greater, he said, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs a promise. Now, just in case you do not know who the heirs of promise is, it was not the physical generations after Abraham. Yes, the promise was Isaac, and there would be a promise that would go through Isaac to Jacob, through Judah, through the generations to come, about a promised child that was going to come. That was the promise that God gave Abraham that would bless all nations, that would give them the opportunity to be saved. So when God made this promise, it says, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. Now, that word immutability, I had to look that one up, to be honest with you. I didn't know exactly what that word meant, so it means unchangeable. Unchangeable. In other words, we know today that we serve a great big God that does not change. A lot of the world wants to say, well, things have changed. They have changed. Not for the better, I'll have to say that much. But as far as God is concerned, he has not changed. What he says is true is still true today. His promises he always keeps. The Bible tells us he is a God that cannot lie. He is a God, in other words, that if there is no way, no how, nothing, and not even for fun, does God ever tell a lie. It's always the truth of God that comes from him. And because of that, he is unchangeable. He does not change in any way. Me personally, I believe the plan of salvation has never changed from the time of Adam all the way down to us today. I realize the world today says, well, God changed it. I've heard people say that God decided after man had sinned that he needed to come up with another plan. I've heard individuals talk about when the flood came along, that God, seeing man being so evil, God changed his mind about everything, and he needed to start it all over. I want you to understand, God put all of these things together to show us how he is unchangeable. How that when he makes a promise, he is going to keep that promise. Now, we're going to look mainly at Abraham today, but I want us to listen just a little bit about these things. when God could swear by no greater, when he looked at everything that he made, there is nothing in creation that is greater than God is. We look in this world today, and one of the great things that's coming to people's minds today is about AI. And they fear that AI, the effect of the computers and such as that, that they might grow smarter than man is. But I want you to understand, the creature can never be greater than the Creator itself. I want you to understand today that God has all power. He has all strength, all knowledge, and all of these things together makes him to be our great God. And because he is so great in his ways, he has no reason to ever change his ways. He has no reason to ever change his mind as far as his plan is concerned. Now, what it tells us here today is by these two immutable things, unchangeable things, the fact that God cannot change, the fact that God cannot lie, it says, in which which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. Now, in that word consolation there, you would probably think of it as being a comfort. It is something that allows you to understand within yourself that everything is at a true peace within you. Now, as you think about that consolation, know that it is also something that when we look back at our God, he made a promise to Abraham that he would have a child. And because that he had made that promise to him, he gave him a son by his wife, Sarah. Sarah, when she was 90 years old. Now, in our time today, that is really, really old, isn't it? It would be an unheard thing for a 90-year-old woman to give birth to a child. And 12 years before that, Sarah, realizing the deadness of her womb, thought within herself, there's no way that I can ever have a child. And she caused Abraham to go into her servant, and to raise up a child, Ishmael as he was called. And she said, this will be the promised child. Now, we live in a day and age today in which the individuals, they look at their lives, they look at everything, and they say, this will be okay if we just say it's in the mind of God or in the heart of God, and it'll be a blessing in these things. But it was not God's plan. God had a plan to show them that he had power over all things. He had power over her womb. He had power over Abraham's body, in that they conceived a child in their old age. Do you remember how old that Abraham was when he bore that son? He was 100 years old. And Sarah was 90 years old at that time. But I want you to listen to what Paul wrote in the 4th chapter of the book of Romans, and what he said here in the 20th verse. He's speaking about Abraham. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, it took belief at that moment in time. You realize, yeah, they had doubted in earlier lives. You may have doubted your life. You may have doubted God at different times in your life. But when we turn to God and stagger not at the promises that God has given you, we're going to get down to what God has promised you here in just a minute. But the fact of the matter is, he staggered not at the deadness of Sarah's womb, he said. And it says, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Now, I want to go back just for a minute to 1 John, and I want to show you what God has promised to us. In 1 John, the 2nd chapter and the 25th verse, I'm going to give you a quick few seconds to get there because I want you to see what God has promised to us. Now, I'm going to ask you something. Is God going to break his promise to you? That's a simple question. We told the kids at different times this week, we as people, we may break promises from time to time. We told them there may be a time you will make a promise to somebody and you may break that promise. But God is not going to break his promise to you. 1 John 2nd chapter verse 25, and this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. Now, what I want you to understand is today, just as sure as we consider the deadness of our flesh, actually in sin and sin, we are considered to be dead in our trespasses and in sin. But when God promised us eternal life, he promised it to all them that believe. I want you to go over to the Galatian letter and look at verse 29 of the third chapter. And it says, if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, go over back up just a minute to verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed means that he has paid a price for us, is what he has done. When Jesus came into the world, it was a promise of God that he would send his only begotten Son into this world, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Jesus said the promise was. That was really and truly what the promise was to Abraham. Through thy seed, all nations would be blessed. And that seed that he was talking about, yeah, the seed he promised Abraham was Isaac. And Isaac was a promised child, and yet he had Jacob, and then Jacob had more sons, and they had children all the way through David and all the way down to a little virgin woman named Mary. And all of these things were the seed that was coming forth into the world. But then there was that promise that God had promised to us through Abraham to us and to them that we might have eternal life. In verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Now listen, verse 14, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, excuse me, that we might receive the Spirit through faith, belief. We receive that Spirit, the Spirit of God. In the Roman letter in the 8th chapter and the 16th verse, it says, for the Spirit bears witness with our seed that we are the children of God, is what it tells us. And because of that, we are able to receive that promise that he has given unto us. Now, as you think about these things today, I want you to keep in mind the promise of God is something that's never going to change. I could use that big word, But I want you to get this. God has promised that whosoever would believe in him, he would save. Now, I quoted John 3:16 a while ago, but you can find it so many other different places in the scriptures. You can find it in John 5, John 6. You can also find it in other chapters of John, but that's not the only places you'll find it. You can find it all throughout the writings of Paul. You can find it throughout the writings of the Luke and the apostles as they were talking about it, that if you have faith in Christ, he will save your soul. He will give you that promise of eternal life, is what he has promised to you. Now, I realize today we are in a time of many struggles. And I realize in these times of struggles, most people do not want to think about God until it really gets down to where it's so hard they don't want to think about nothing else. Am I not right? But the fact of the matter is, what we need to think about right now is that promise that God will not lie about is that he will save those that believe. As we continue today in our service today, I want you to keep in mind that these things are true. God is always true. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And what he is telling us today is if you believe, if you believe, you can have the sweet salvation that there is for you. Now, I want to thank you all for your attention today. Brother Key, get us a song today. I've got on my heart today about these that are unsaved. I do. I want you to think about your souls today. I want you to think hard about the promise God has made that he will save your soul if you'll come and believe in him and him only. Not on me, not on anybody in this church, not on anybody outside the church, but upon God and him alone. For he purchased you is what he did. So I want you to think about that today. For us that are saved, I've got another thing for you to think about. I want you to think about the different ones that are here that are lost that you know of. We don't ever know the hearts of anybody. I do not know. I can look around and I can say, I believe that individual saved. From what Josh said a while ago, I believe he's saved. I've listened to Brother Sam's testimony enough times. I believe he's saved. Same thing. For Sister Joan, for same thing for Sister Debbie and so other ladies and men that are here today. I've heard you tell that and I believe you're saved. But the only one that I really and truly know about is me. That's it. God did not give me the privilege of looking into your heart and being able to tell you you're saved or you're not saved. I've got beliefs. You know, I look at some of these that hadn't told us anything, and I can see in their faces that they're still troubled. I see that. But that doesn't mean anything. But what God sees is your heart. God knows where you're at today. For us that are saved, I want you to take a look at that one that you're wondering about. This is a challenge for you for the next couple weeks until we get especially through revival. I'm going to say it that way. I want you to start thinking about them on a regular basis. You can say, well, I know that she is never told us about being saved. Lord, I want to pray for them. What about him, Lord? You know, I hear Brother Adam talk about his son-in-law like we did. I do. I hear him talk about Brother Adam a lot of times.
I think about Adam a lot. And I want him to be saved. But we got to get him here. It doesn't take here to get him saved, but he needs to hear the preaching of God's word, or he needs something to get a hold of him. And he doesn't have to be here for that. I'm just thankful that God saves souls wherever. Let's be praying about what God has done for us. Let's pray about these that are unsaved. While we stand and sing, I want us to come into the altar and shake hands one with another. If you know you've got somebody on your heart, go by them and tell them you're praying for them, is what I want you to do. This is a time of fellowship for us. But if there's somebody that you are wondering about their soul, tell them you're praying for them. Ask them if you have to. If the Lord puts it on you, ask them about it. But I'm just asking you to start praying harder for them, is what I'm asking you to do today. So while we stand and sing, everybody that's willing to come around and shake hands one with another and talk to these or ask them about their souls is what I'm asking you to do.
Number 270.